I'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. I'd like to announce that this past week our website was hacked and sophisticated people. This wasn't no high school kid that hacked our website. This person who hacked our website, it took a supercomputer to hack our website to get by the password. The old password that we used to have was at 3H little O capital C 2 S capital L little M pound sign. The mathematical possibility of breaking that password, it took a supercomputer to do that. No kid broke that password and got into our computer and put a virus in it and shut us down for the day. And so that shows you the threat that we are to governments like China, North Korea, Iran, places that are ungodly people. We are considered a threat to them because we encourage people to worship in their home. This month, I got the report early this morning, in spite of being shut down for one day, we still had over 88,000 hits. I'll have the full report in your bulletin next week. Germany was number one in the foreign countries coming to our website. China was number two. Brazil was number three. The European Union was number four. And the UK was number five. How would all of those people in those countries know about the Main Street Church of Christ? We don't advertise there. Well, they had to hear us on shortwave radio. And so we're going to put up a couple of maps up here and show you again real quick. This is where we're broadcasting in the United States. You notice we're broadcasting to all of North Texas. And it's our home base, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It carries all the way up into Oklahoma. And out here we're in little old Abilene, shaming the change movement. Listen up out there, Randy, at ACU. The preaching of the cross of Christ still works. Randy's a professor, Twiddly DD out there, and he teaches all Bible majors. Now, in my lifetime, I've baptized about 5,000 people, way over 5,000 people that I've been involved in my own self. I wonder how many he's baptized. Do you think he knows anything about it? We broadcast to all of Oklahoma, all of Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky, and Mississippi, and these are on AM, FM broadcasts. In our second map here, your next map, it's paid for. We just completed the contract. This is Europe. This is Spain here. This is Morocco. This is Italy here. This is Europe up here. This is all excellent reception, and it shows you how excellent reception is received throughout Europe and North Africa, all the way over into Russia, into Crimea, all into to those areas. Next map, please. By buying that, we got all the United States. Here's Texas. Here's Mexico here. We got Canada up here. We get all of the North America free. A guy called me from Canada that had chickens in his living room. Next map, please. This is South America. We get all of South America free. Well, that might explain how people in Brazil have heard from us. Next map, please. This is from Radio Palalu that we hope to get that, but we are broadcasting already now four times to China and the Pacific. This would make five times. Next map, please. Okay, that's the end of it. You've got another one in your bulletin that shows you Radio Madagascar that's coming online the first of the year. It's already paid for by pledges, and so we will be, God willing, broadcasting 5 times to all the earth this coming year. If you'd open your Bibles with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter, we're going to continue in our lesson. We'd like to ask our radio audience to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable acapella singing, all kinds of sermons on there, 1,000 sermons, and 1,000 written lessons, all kinds of links. Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin in verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Speaking of harsh judgments, in which are phony judgments, where people are just harsh and judgmental and condemning of other people. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you met, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Judgmental, harsh, judgmental people generally are guilty of a far worse hidden sin of their own than what they're condemning the people for that they judge. Verse 4. Or how will I say unto thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, Jesus unmasked him. First cast out the beam that is in thine eye, thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. A hypocrite was an actor. They put on a mask. They appeared to be somebody that they really weren't. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. There's a difference between the holy and the profane. And we need to understand there's a big difference between what's good and what's evil, between the holy and profane. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. A pig, man, a pig will turn on you, and wild pigs, boars, they can kill you. You know, they got tush. They're really, really bad, man. Hunting boars is a dangerous thing to do. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. God wants us to progress in our prayer life from ask, Lord, give me this, Lord, give me that, to seeking, Lord, what is it you want? What is it you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to react in this situation? To knock, to I will. To tell him, okay, now that I've figured out what you want, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone, not somebody, everyone that asketh receiveth. If you're a Christian, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Every prayer of a Christian is answered. God might say yes, he might say no, and he might say wait, be patient. In due time, I'll give you that. In due time, I'll work that out. I'm working on that. I'm seeing to it. But every prayer, I assure you as a Christian, if you're a Christian, you're earnestly praying to God. Every prayer is answered. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? If you think of God as your father, you can expect good things when you pray back from God. Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him? Now, in Luke's account of this sermon, it says, give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. God thinks that the very best gift that he can give you is the Holy Spirit. So when you repent and you're baptized into Christ, if you've come to him in the appointed way, you believe the gospel, you have faith in God to save you, you repent of your sins, you confess Christ as Lord, you're baptized into Christ, when you come to God in the appointed way, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God comes and lives in your heart. God doesn't want to live in temples made with hands anymore. He wants to dwell in the heart of his people. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. Call the golden rule, only it's said in a positive manner instead of a negative manner. Everybody repeats this in a negative manner. This is said in a positive manner. Enter ye in at the straight gate. We talked about that last week. We sing a song about it. It's a great old song, long old time song. For there's just one way to the pearly gate, to the crown of life and the souls that wait. That old crossroads on the way called straight. There's just one way to the pearly gate. It's a wonderful song. Enter ye in, it's a straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. You see this term, the? Anytime that the article, that's called an article in Greek, anytime the is used in Greek, it means the one and only. It's the church. It's not a church. It's the way of salvation. It's not a way of salvation. It is the faith. It's not a bunch of faiths. It's the way. Greek pistios is the term, and it means the entire embodiment of all the teaching of New Testament Christianity. You can't just believe part of it. You got to be straight on all of it or working towards it. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. I hope you're part of that chosen few. Y'all see the wolf up there in sheep's clothing, don't you? Yeah, he's styling, man. He's got on his little sheep hat. He's got on his leggings. He's got a coat on. He's got a sheep coat on. I'm telling you, they're just like that. This is absolutely the perfect way that God, who became Jesus Christ in the flesh, is coming and telling you that he's had to deal with his people all throughout history. And they've always been like this. They've never changed. They're always dirty dogs, and they're always false prophets, false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. The word prophet is used in the scripture means anyone who teaches authoritatively the will of God. A false prophet is one who is a false teacher. Christ refers to the scribes and Pharisees, and of course, it holds true of all false teachers throughout history that come to you in sheep's clothing while appearing as harmless as sheep. They actually are wolves. All throughout history, God has had a problem with his teachers, with his prophets, because half of them are... 90% of them have become false prophets. They become fat cats. They drank too much. They get one problem after another. They become womanizers. They become all kinds of things. And so we're going to begin to study that. During the time of Isaiah, which was 700 to 750 B.C., Isaiah the prophet says in Isaiah chapter 56, Isaiah 56, verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. Not some of them. Not some of the shepherds. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. They're up all night, sleep all day. Drink that wine all night, smoke that stuff all night, sleep all day. Yea, they're greedy dogs, which can never have enough. Do you know any like that? They got to have a brand new Cadillac every year. They all get paid well over $100,000 a year. That's what's happened to our preachers. Our preachers have become professionals. They all get paid over $100,000 a year. When they get out of school of preaching, they want $50,000 a year. A kid sent us a letter from a school of preaching. He wanted $30,000 a year for support. $30,000 a year where he could go to school, and as soon as he could graduate, he'd charge us $50,000. Yea, they're all greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, and everyone to his own gain from his own quarter. Come, they say, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundantly. That especially is true of the Roman priesthood. Now, God sent Sennacherib, the evil Assyrians, like ISIS today. They were evil people. They hung people up, they impaled them, they skinned them alive. They did all manner of things. They burned them alive in the fire. They just did all terrible things. They built piles of heads and piles of hands. They were just awful people, like ISIS today is beheading all them people. They're just terrible. God sent them terrible Assyrians to punish Israel because Israel was worshiping false gods, and he wiped out all of Israel. He destroyed the capital city of Samaria. They all went into captivity, was sold as slaves. They're the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Nobody knows what happened to them. Then every city in Judah was destroyed and captured by the Assyrians, except Jerusalem. And good King Hezekiah prayed to God, and God sent his angel that night and wiped out the Assyrian army. 135,000 of them died. Now, we found Sennacherib's palace, and in his palace, he talked about all the cities he went against. He conquered, he took them, he took the spoil, he went against every city. Then he says that he came to Jerusalem. Now, he's not going to tell you that he got his rear end kicked there. He's just going to tell you, he said, I came to Jerusalem, and I locked up Hezekiah in the city like a bird in a cage and went back to my own land. So he didn't tell you that his army got wiped out there. He didn't want to do that. So the Jews got to thinking that this temple here, no matter how much we sin, God's going to put up with it because the temple is here in Jerusalem. So in a couple hundred years, along comes Jeremiah the prophet. And so Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 8, we'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website, www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com, for free downloadable sermons and all kinds of written lessons on there. Jeremiah 7, beginning verse 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. The people are listening to these false teachers. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house? How do you live 6 days a week matters to God when you come to church on Sunday. It really matters to him. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Once saved, always saved. Eternal security of the saints. Oh, we believe it, brother. Listen, here's the way it is, man. If you buy this, I've got some swamp land for you. Before the creation of the world, God looked all the way through history, and he seen me, and he loved me more than he loves any of y'all. And he chose me to be saved, and he chose all of y'all to be damned. And no matter what I do, I can't lose my salvation. And no matter what you do, you can't be saved. Does that sound like a God that you want to worship? It sounds like idiocy to me. It is stupid to believe such a thing. There's no such thing as Calvinism. It's a false teaching. It's wolves in sheep's clothing. It's a lie. God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He loves you just as much as he loves the homeless guy. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And say we're delivered to do these abominations, these sins. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it. God says, I've seen what you do. You think that I don't see it, but I see what you do, saith the Lord. But go ye down to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. God, when Joshua took the land, he set up the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle at Shiloh. Now, Shiloh is a city in Ephraim, and it became the capital city of the Jews during the period of the Judges. And during the period of the Judges, the people began to worship with the Canaanites. They began to worship Baal. They began to, which was just get naked and have an orgy, burn your babies to false gods and all that stuff. So the Jews started doing that. And so the Jews went out to battle at the Battle of Ebenezer. And Eli, the prophet, had got old, and his two sons were rotten dogs. They were priests. And so Israel went out to battle, and they got whipped. They come back, they said, let's get the Ark of the Lord and take the Ark of the Lord out there and we'll whip them Philistines. So they took the Ark of the Lord and they got captured. They got whipped again and the Ark got captured. And the two sons of Eli got killed. And the messenger come running back to Shiloh and told Eli that the people, the army of Israel was whipped and that... His two sons was dead, and he fell over, and he broke his neck sitting in the city gate. And when they excavated Shiloh, it's just exactly like the book talks about. There's one hill that had the city gate where Eli sit, and another hill up there where the tabernacle fit, and they had cut out a place exactly the size of the tabernacle. Man, archaeologists who used to believe proved all those things long years ago. New archaeologists today have come along and said, well, we don't believe. But they don't have any reason for it. In Jeremiah 7:17, seeth now what I... And so God says, you think that I won't do to you what I did at Shiloh? The book says the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The only thing that makes this place holy is the fact the Holy Spirit is here dwelling in your hearts. That's the only thing that makes this place holy. This is not holy. There's no such thing as holy ground. You don't come and visit God at church on Sunday and then go home and leave him here. You take him home with you. He lives in your hearts. Seest not thou what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle a fire, the women knead dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Queen of Heaven was Ashtoreth. You had to take your firstborn daughter and drown her in honey to worship Ashtoreth. Do you think that was a good religion? Well, and you asked yourself, you had to take your firstborn son and burn him alive in the hands of Baal to worship Baal. And you asked yourself, how could people do that? Well, If your religion was such, and your lady had been up at the temple up there partying for 2 months, and she comes home and she says, hey, I'm all knocked up, I'm pregnant. You think we ought to keep the kid or offer it to the Lord? What would you do? I mean, ain't your kid. I mean, she'd been up there 2 months. You can understand how people could get into that rut. If you start that, see, it's a slope down. There's no end to the bottomless pit of how wicked sin is. The devil wants you to go all the way down. Keep yourselves pure. God is holy and he wants you to be holy. To make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. They make cakes and they go party, man, to this Queen of Heaven, to Astoreth, and pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon Jerusalem. God says, I'm going to get rid of the city. I'm tired of it. They trust in a thing, in a temple, in a church house, and not in God. Upon man and upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground. And it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, when he took it, he burnt the whole city with fire and he sowed it with salt. I'd like to encourage our radio audience, visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and 1,000 lessons on there, 1,000 sermons, 1,000 written lessons. Jeremiah 7:28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. I'm telling you, there comes a time in God's plan. It happened under Sennacherib with Isaiah. It happened under Nebuchadnezzar with Jeremiah. It happened under the Christians, under Christ, with Titus of Rome when he destroyed Jerusalem. There comes a time that God will forsake the generation of his wrath. For the children of evil have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord, and set up abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Topheth. That's where they worship Baal. It's the same place Judas went and hung himself, in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. I'm telling you, I believe with all of my heart that 2016 shall decide between the wrath of God, that we, the people of America, will decide between the wrath of God and another chance in 2016. I believe it with all my heart. And if you support baby killers and you support all the things that wickedness calls for, you're going to get what you got coming. I'm telling you the truth. You're the ones that's going to pull the lever and decide the future of this country. Therefore, the day comes, saith the Lord, and it shall no longer be called Topheth, this place where Judas hangs himself, nor the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Topheth until they be no place. When they dug up Topheth, the high place at Topheth, there was jar after jar after jar, line after line after line, all burned babies. I can't explain to you how big it was, how huge the field was of burned jars of burned babies. I had a film back in 1980 of a man who drove a dumpster into an abortion clinic and dumped the dumpster, and the dumpster fell off on the ground, and the aborted babies fell out. All the chopped up babies fell out, and the dumpster driver went insane. He went mad. He could not believe that people did that to one another. When I was 16 years old, I had two of my friends that were murdered down the street here at the corner of Cisco and Columbia by a gang that was looking for me. I went in the next day and they said, we'd like for you to identify the bodies. And I didn't believe it was them. I just couldn't feature my two friends being dead. And they took me in the middle of an autopsy. And I couldn't believe that they did that to human beings. And I punched the doctor. I couldn't believe that they would butcher people that way. Just imagine how this looks to God. Now, behind every abortion is a man, so, you know, this isn't a women's sin. We're all involved in it. Every one of us that's sown the wild oats is all involved in it. They shall bury and tope it until there be no place. And Judas wound up hanging himself and bursting in Topet. And he's laying out there right now. His dust of Judas is laying right out there and rotting. And the dust of the high priest who killed Jesus, his tomb became Topet. And his, when the Romans took Jerusalem, they threw his body out there, and he's rotting in that field, waiting for the resurrection of the dead to stand up and burn forever. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray away. Jeremiah 23, 1 through 6. What's God going to do about this? He's going to do something about it his own self. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I'm against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered the flock and driven them away and not visited them. Behold, I'll visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant out of my flock out of all the countries wherein I have driven them. And I'll bring them again to their foes, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I'll set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will rise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. Jeremiah is talking in 586 B.C. He's looking forward to the future, and he says, out of David will come a righteous branch. David has been dead for 400 years already. In another 600 years, the Christ is going to come. He's going to be the righteous branch. Notice that word branch is capitalized in the translation there. That really means the translators understood this as being the Messiah. God is saying in 586 more years, the Christ is going to be born, and he's going to be the righteousness of God. He's going to be a righteous branch. I'm going to send the Christ at the very right time in history. I'm going to intervene in the affairs of men, and this person is going to be a descendant of King David, just as I promised, and he shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And so Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Gospel, remember that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So God sent the righteousness of God, and it was revealed to all men in the gospel. Jeremiah 23:15. Thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the waters of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth to all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken ye not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak of a vision of their own heart, and not out of their own mouth, saith the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, The Lord has said, and ye shall have peace. They saying, Oh, man, listen, don't worry about a thing. We're eternal security of the saints here. We got this temple. Well, that temple's fixing to be burned down. They're fixing to all go away into captivity. Those Jews were different than the Jews at Jesus' time. Those Jews took with them the scroll of the prophet Jeremiah, and they cherished it, and they read it in captivity, and they heard the prophecy that God would deliver them and set them free in 70 years. They'd only do 70 years in bondage in Babylon, and they cherished the prophet, the scroll of the prophet of Jeremiah. Now, Jesus gave them the same prophecy in 30 A.D. in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about the destruction of Jerusalem. And when the Jews went away into captivity, in the Roman captivity, they stomped on Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They hated Christians. They've hated Christians for 2,000 years. These Jews are worse than those Jews. Those Jews repented. These Jews here won't repent. Bernie told me the other day, he said, Kelly, you don't have to worry about them Muslims. Them Jews is going to come get you, man. Well, it's the truth. I'm going to speak the truth. I don't care where it's politically correct or not. Jeremiah 33:14. Behold, a day comes, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing that I promised the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days at that time, because I'll cause the branch of righteousness, the Christ, to grow up unto David, he had promised a descendant of King David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Who's Jesus? He is the Lord himself. He's Yahweh. He's YHWH. He's Yahweh. That's who he is. He's the Lord himself become flesh, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Now, 2,000 years ago, God raised up Christ and seated him on the throne of David at his own right hand. And for 2,000 years, Christ has been reigning seated on the throne of David. He will reign seated on the throne of David forever. Christ is not coming back to earth to sit on a throne in Jerusalem. Christ has been sitting on a throne for 2,000 years. Prove it, preacher. All right, that's simple. Acts chapter 2, verse 30. Speaking of King David, Peter says, Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, a descendant of yours, David, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to what? To sit on his throne. Not come back in 2,000 years and sit on his throne. He'd raise him up to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. Now the prophet defines it. When Christ sat on his throne? At the resurrection of Christ. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. What does it mean, sit on his throne? The resurrection of Christ. And he goes on, He seen before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell in the grave, neither did his flesh see corruption. It didn't rot in the grave. Christ went to the grave. He wasn't there long enough to rot. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. And therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, he was already there 2,000 years ago, seated, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed forth, this which you now see and hear. Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels saith he at any time, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool? I'd like to encourage our radio audience, go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's thousands of sermons, thousands of written lessons on there. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. Ezekiel is a prophet right after Jeremiah. He's speaking to the people. He's already in captivity. He went away in maybe the second captivity, maybe the first captivity. He's still speaking to the people. Jeremiah will speak till 586 when the temple's destroyed. Then they kidnap him, the Jews do, and take him to Egypt and kill him there. And so this prophet Ezekiel, he's in Babylon. He's speaking of the captivity, and he's talking and looking forward in the future to the coming of Christ. And here we go in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds. Isn't this over and over and over again? God said the shepherds are the problem. The pastors are the problem. The teachers are the problem. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Yeah. Why? Well, they're the problem. Against the shepherds, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of the shepherds, Woe be the shepherds of Israel, do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe ye with wool, ye kill them and are fed, ye feed not the flock. Come on, preachers, do you really need $100,000 a year? Come on, preachers, do you really need that? Let me tell you something. I figured the math, put the math to it today. For $63,400 a year, I could preach to all the world 24 hours a day on Sunday. Surely you'd think that there is a Church of Christ preacher out there who makes $100,000 a year that would voluntarily give up half his salary and say, hey, I'm just going to give half my salary to preach the gospel to the whole wide world. You'd think that there'd be one out there. Are you tired of seeing Professor Smart or Twiddly D.D. out at ACU drive around in big Cadillacs? Well, you can help us get 24 hours on the radio. Just call us and contact us. The disease ye have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. The priests were like the medical doctors. I give people common sense home remedies. I talk to them about soaking that in Epsom salt water. You infect it. Soak that in Epsom salt water. Take laxatives and things. There's all kinds of hot, common home remedies that I give people. I tell people all the time. It's part of my job. The sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. What man among you, having 100 sheep, does not leave the 99? And go after that which was lost in the wilderness until he finds it. Well, none of them will. None of them will. No. It's better to cut our losses. Leave the 99 and go after the one? No, not me. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. They were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became prey. unto the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. And yea, my flock was scattered to all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord, surely because my flock has become a prey, and my flock has become meat to every beast of the field. Drop down to verse 9. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands, and cause them to cease feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they shall not be meat unto them, saith the Lord God. What are you going to do, God? Well, this guy's prophesying about 576 B.C. And he says, well, in 576 years, I'm going to come do something about it. Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in a day, he is among his sheep that are scattered. Go read John 10 about the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Go read John 10. See about Jesus being the good shepherd. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all the places wherein they have been scattered in this cloudy and dark day. Drop down with me now to Zechariah 11. Zechariah 11, verse 15. The Lord is saying to me, take it yet the instrument of the foolish shepherd. Now, the captivity of Judah is over with. The 70 years of captivity is over with. The Jews have gone back into Jerusalem to occupy the land. Zechariah is a prophet after the captivity, writing about 400 years before Christ. He's looking to the time of Christ. He's prophesying, what are the shepherds going to be like when the Messiah comes? Well, he's going to tell us. Shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall they seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feedeth that that standeth still. They're just like the old shepherds. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat. He'll be a fat cat. He'll eat all the best prime cut. He'll get the backstrap. He'll get the chicken cordon bleu, and you can have the hot dog. He shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws. It says here, hooves would be a better translation in the Greek, from the Greek. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. This metaphor always means the arm means the power to save yourself. With a strong right arm will I break my people from the land of Egypt, God said. So for the sword to be upon your arm, God's going to cut off your ability to save yourself. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up. It's going to be cut off and withered and dry up. He won't be able to save himself. And his right eye shall be utterly darkened. And Jesus said, if your eye be full of darkness, how great is that darkness? If all you can see is evil, you're going to see a lot of fire someday. This poor crippled man right here is baptized Wednesday night. Let the church say amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Everybody meet him. For such are false apostles. Now see, after Christ warned us, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing, Paul speaking about there's always going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. You should expect it. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. If the devil showed up to your house tonight, he's not going to have two horns and a tail and a pitchfork and be dressed in a red suit like Halloween, like last night, saying trick or treat. He's not going to do that. He's going to look like an angel of light. You're going to think, Oh man, this is God Himself. And all the blood's going to run out of your head. Yeah. The devil's got a trick for you, man. He's got a trick for you. Like an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing that his ministers also are transformed into the ministers of righteousness. They're going to look good. They're going to be in suits. They're going to have black suits and white collars, some of them. Some of them are going to be in blue suits, imitating the black suits with the white collars. Some of them is going to be in robes. They're going to have robes. They're going to have gowns. They're going to have all of the fancy things. They got crosses. They bear incense. They swing an incense. They chant. They got a show. They got a show for you, man. They got a show, and they got a basket. They pass the basket, and if you got a sin, they got a price that you pay for that sin. Well, let me tell you something. Ain't no price for sin. You can't buy. There's no such thing. I had people occasionally will come to me and say, Brother Kelly, I want to talk to you. I get my food stamps on the first, and I'll get you $100 worth of stuff if you just give me a $20 bill. And it infuriates me. It infuriates me that somebody'd think that I'd sell my soul for a stinking $80. You think I'm an $80 punk. It infuriates me. You can't buy me. I'm 71 years old. I'm fixing to die and go see God. You can't buy me for $100,000. You can't buy me for $1,000,000. There's no price that you can pay to buy me. And there's no price you can pay to buy God. If you believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can be saved. There's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. All you need to do is put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you, that God will do what He says He'll do. And He says, He that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. You need to repent of your sins. Be sorry for your sins. March right down to the front down here and meet me right down to the front. Right down here. March down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, and have all your sins washed away. Won't you come now? If you have sin in your life, you're ready to become a Christian while we stand and sing.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood. All the land, there is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the land. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood. All the land. There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in His life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood. All the land, There is power, wonder-working power in the press.